My relationship is secure. But the other ship, the fellowship, is dependent on how I behave.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Pastor Brian Grant has been exploring a series of exhortations by the writer of the book of Hebrews, written to an assembly of Jewish Christians who were wavering in their faith. Pastor Grant has explained how in these specific exhortations, the writer was urging his hearers to move forward in their faith and not backward, as some were considering doing, even to going back into Judaism. These exhortations all contained warnings as well. And this evening's message, the first part of which aired last week, contains a warning against committing willful sin. Pastor Grant defined willful sin as not a single act of sin, but a determination to continue sinning, even though the sinner knows it is wrong but doesn't care what God thinks. Wow! Listen with us now as Pastor Grant concludes his message, Flirting with Disaster. Here again is Pastor Grant.
When we sin willfully, the consequences are much more far-reaching than we may realize. Put this in your notes. The first consequence of sin, willful sin, we trample Christ under our foot. Look with me at verse 29 of Hebrews chapter 10. We're back in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Here's what it says. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy? And there are three things here which we're going to look at. He be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. The consequences of willful sin are far-reaching. First, we trample Christ under our foot. On May 25th, George Floyd was brutally killed when a policeman kept his knee on his neck for over 8 minutes. And all of us who saw the videos were horrified by this disgusting act. And as the Holy Spirit helped me unpack this text, I became ashamed of what I have done to my Savior. Because I have also sinned willfully. I knew willful sin was wrong, but I didn't realize I was trampling my Savior under my feet. Did you realize that? When we practice sin, when we know what we're about to do is wrong and pursue it, God says we are trampling the Savior under our feet. I may as well have had my knee in his neck. What a graphic picture. Can you imagine walking over the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you imagine having your knee on the neck of Jesus? But that's how God views it. When we sin willfully, that's how he feels when we sin, when we practice sin. And so I'm just praying that today you and I will determine that we're going to change course, regardless of what it is. You know, we all have our little stuff we're holding on to. But may God help us to get the picture of what we're doing to the Son of God when we practice sin. May God help us to get the picture, and may we make a decision this morning. God, please help me. God, I'm changing course. God, give me help. Give me victory. I want to walk with you. I don't want to pursue this path any longer. Listen, the first consequence of willful sin is that we trample Christ under our foot. But the second consequence of willful sin is that we treat the blood of Christ as a common thing. Willful sin is not just the overt sins. Willful sin also includes disobedience to the things God tells you to do. In fact, in the Hebrews, one of the issues that God had with these early Jewish Christians had to do with the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus regarded his blood, the blood of Jesus, is such a special thing that you remember the blood of Jesus the night before his crucifixion. You remember what he did? He commanded us to remember his blood and his broken body and instituted the Lord's Supper, and he gave us a command, and he commanded us to remember his blood and his body at the Lord's Supper. It was a command. But guess what was going on with these Jewish Christians? Instead of emphasizing the blood of the Lord, these Jewish Christians were still going to the temple and offering the sacrifice of animals' blood. Are you with me? They were saved, but they were still showing up at the temple with the blood of an animal. And though God, the Son, Jesus Christ, had shed his precious blood, the blood which was effective enough to save us from all sin. Listen, they had put that blood, and they were treating it as if it was a common thing. No big deal. You know, today many Christians regard the Lord's Supper as optional. For the life of me, I can't quite get why we are treating it as optional when Jesus gives us a command and we have decided. Do you know some churches don't ever do the Lord's Supper? Did you know that? Some don't ever celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's optional. But my friends, if Jesus Christ has commanded us to celebrate the Lord's Supper and we have chosen not to celebrate the Lord's Supper, my friend, what we are literally doing is willfully sinning. We are saying, God, you regard the supper as important. I don't. I am just not going to do it. Listen, this is important to Jesus. You say, Pastor, don't get so worked up. It's not a big deal. If it wasn't a big deal, why is it the night before he's betrayed, this is what Jesus is focusing on? This is his dying request. It was such a big deal, the early church did it every single day. Then they eventually started doing it once a week. I'm going to encourage you, my friend, to put more emphasis on the Lord's Supper. You know, it's amazing what COVID has done for our church. Because as a result of COVID, there are a whole lot more people celebrating the Lord's Supper every single week. But I'm going to encourage some of you, even pre-COVID, during COVID, after COVID, let us make sure we realize that this is a command of Jesus. And he's saying that when we just forget about it, we're treating the blood of Christ as a common thing. He wants us to put big time focus on his blood. He wants us to constantly remember his blood. Because listen, it is by the blood everything we have is because of the blood. Am I right about it? It's the blood that has cleansed us. It's the blood that has forgiven us. It's the blood that has justified us. It's the blood that has ransomed us. It's the blood that has sanctified us. It's the blood! May God help us not to regard the blood of Jesus as a common thing. It's a big, big deal to him. Consequences of sin in this text. We trample Christ under our foot. We treat the blood of Christ as a common thing. And then he says we insult the Holy Spirit. Oh, did you? I'll be honest with you. I've read this passage over and over again. I never saw all of this stuff in this text before. You know, it's amazing what the Spirit of God will help you to realize when you spend a little time. We insult the Holy Spirit. When I decide I'm going to sin and do my thing, God is telling us the consequences are much more far-reaching. I'm insulting the Holy Spirit. You know, this Holy Spirit is at work in the heart of every believer. And every time we're about to sin, the Holy Spirit warns us. Every time. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, eventually we may get such a seared conscience that we can't even recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It happens, you know. You can, as a Christian, get to a point where your conscience is so seared, you don't recognize the Spirit's moving in your heart and in your life. But every time we want to sin, the Holy Spirit warns us. So when we sin, we are actually insulting the Holy Spirit because we are actually telling Him, "Leave me alone. I want to do what I want to do. Leave me alone." Willful sin is not only dishonors God. It's interesting that all of the consequences in this text shows how personal God takes this. Did you notice it? God takes your sin and my sin personally. Put this in your notes. When we sin, we are not only disobeying an impersonal law, because sometimes we think that sin is disobeying some sort of a law. God has all this stuff in the Bible, and when I decide to sin, it's just a matter that I'm just going against what God says. No. When I sin, it's not that I'm not only disobeying an impersonal law. We are willfully wrecking a personal relationship with the transcendent God. I want us to just sit and chill and meditate on that a moment. Every time you sin and every time I sin, I am actually wrecking a relationship with the transcendent God. This transcendent God who is so high. This self-sufficient God who doesn't need me, but this God who stooped down, this God which chose me, this God who decided to have a relationship with me, this omnipotent God who can do everything. And we are in a relationship together. Shouldn't I value a relationship with Him? But when I sin, when I decide I'm going to do what I want to do, regardless of what God says, I am actually wrecking my personal relationship with this transcendent God. My friend, may God help us this morning that we will change directions. We will change directions. The catalyst for willful sin, the consequences of willful sin, and finally, the chastisement for willful sin.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
The chastisement for willful sin. I'm in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation. And as we read this, remember, it's us Christians he's talking to. And fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy of, who has trampled the Son of God? This is about what Moses was as issue. But now, for those of us who are Christians, the punishment is going to be even worse. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Under the law of Moses, there was no mercy for willful sin. And considering what God has done for those of us who are saved, our willful sin, the text tells us, deserves a harsher punishment. It's no wonder that some Bible teachers have concluded that a Christian who sins willfully will lose their salvation. But that is inconsistent with the teachings of Christ. And as I reminded you last week in another of these very tough passages, because as I told you last week, that was one of the toughest passages in the New Testament, and this is another one of the toughest passages in the New Testament. But as I reminded you last week, in John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And Jesus cannot lie. Jesus said he gives his sheep eternal life and they shall never perish, and nobody can pluck us out of his hand. Never perish, never perish. I cannot lose my eternal life. Amen. So what is this warning all about? Let me share two things very quickly with you that you can put down in your notes. First of all, I want to point out to you that willful sin destroys our fellowship with God. Willful sin destroys our fellowship with God. God won't even hear our prayers. You say, oh, God must listen to everybody's prayer if they're saved. Not so. 1 Peter chapter 3, God even warns husbands who are not living right with their wives. He says, you better learn to treat your wife properly, or I don't even listen to your prayers. It says your prayers won't be hindered. I want to encourage you guys. Oh, you didn't know that, men. If you ain't living right, if you ain't treating your wife right, and you know, don't say, oh God, she ain't right, acting right. Forget about how she's acting. The question is, how you acting? Oh, I wish I had time to talk to men this morning. Oh, I wish I had some time, because sometimes we don't realize the impact we can make in our families if we do what God says, the impact we can have on our wives. But we're always waiting on her to change. And God is saying to us, we're the leaders in our families. We're the ones that ought to be changing. Listen, guys, yes. Ladies, if you're out there, you need to change. I'm not giving you a pass. I ain't giving you a pass. Let me get back to what I'm supposed to be talking about. Amen. Here's the bottom line. When we are messing around, it will destroy our fellowship. Notice I said fellowship. It doesn't destroy our relationship. You see, there are two ships, relationship and fellowship. Relationship can never be destroyed, because I can never, ever be not a child of God. Amen? My relationship is secure, but the other ship, the fellowship, is dependent on how I behave. Willful sin will destroy my fellowship, and my prayers don't even get to the roof. Oh, you're praying. Oh, I don't understand why God won't answer my prayers. Are you living right? If you ain't living right, you shouldn't even be bothering about why God won't answer your prayers. Get in your act together. But here's the one that's even more serious. Put this down. Willful sin may result in losing our life. We love this. We want to cling to our life. The very thing you're clinging to. My friend, if we don't get ourselves together, that's exactly what we may lose. 1 John 5:16 warns us that there is a sin unto death. Just because God saved your soul does not mean he won't kill your body. Oh, I hope you heard me. That may sound, pastor, that's rough. Let me say it again, because we need to hear how rough it is. Just because God saved your soul doesn't mean he won't kill your body. Let me say it another way. God's sacrifice, and I saw that just very slightly to make it shorter, some of what Tony Evans says in his commentary. But here's the point. God's sacrifice that saves you eternally will not necessarily deliver you in history. Did you get it? The sacrifice of Christ is going to make sure I get to heaven, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to live very long on earth. God might take my life away. Just pull me out. In fact, you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there was that big warning about living right. Even at the breaking of bread, he says, if you don't eat worthily, he may take your life right there. That should help us realize how important the Lord's Supper is. How can we miss how important the Lord's Supper is when he warns us right there? He says, if you don't eat worthily, he says, you eat and drink damnation. That's how important the Lord's Supper is. You eat and drink damnation. It's not just grape juice and matzo. It's something very sacred. It's something special. He says, you eat and drink damnation. He says, as a result, some of you are very sick and some are dead. Read it. He says, some of you died because you messed with this very sacred thing. God's sacrifice that saves you eternally will not necessarily deliver you in history. So is there hope for the willful sinner? Hallelujah, there is hope. Oh, I thank God that this is such a message of hope. Oh, some would preach to say that this means you have lost your salvation, but this is not a message that makes you lose your salvation. It's a message of hope, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is effective enough to cleanse us from all sin. Hallelujah. All sin, even willful sin. Aren't you glad about it? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from willful sin. I think we all know what David did. David was a bad boy. You remember what he did? He looked, he saw this woman bathing. He was captivated by what he saw. He eventually conspired to have her husband murdered. And after all these despicable, sinful acts, David turned to God and pleaded with him. Let me close by turning you to Psalm 51. Turn you to Psalm 51 as we wrap this message up. Psalm 51. Here's David. It says, if you notice right under the scripture, it says, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And here's what David says, Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. God, I acknowledge my transgressions. God, I acknowledge my transgressions. Oh, might we this morning be willing to acknowledge our transgressions. Oh, God, my sin is always before me. Against you. Sin is always against God. Against you have I sinned, done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Oh God, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And this man David, after doing such heinous and despicable acts, God heard his prayer, and God forgave his willful sin. And the Bible tells us David was a friend of God, a man after God's own heart. My friend, this morning, despite all what we have done, God is willing to make us his friends. God is well. Listen, the game is not over. And the God, you know, it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But it is a wonderful thing to experience God's mercy and God's grace. And my friend, no matter what you have done, right now you can experience God's mercy and God's grace, if like David, you're willing to come to God and admit how awful your sin is. Don't try and dress it up. Don't try and make it look nice. Admit to God how awful your sin is. Ask him for his mercy and for his forgiveness and make a commitment to change. Ask him to help you, and this God of grace will forgive, he'll restore, and he will help you day by day to live for him. Perhaps I'm speaking to this someone this morning. You've never opened your heart to Jesus. I want you to know God, this transcendent God. He loves you. He came down in the person of Jesus to pay the penalty of your sin. And this morning he's willing. Instead of your heading for the judgment of God, this morning you can be made ready for heaven if you'll open your heart and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me by your grace and make me a child of God. If you do that, God will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sin and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer. And he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.